welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Vickel. On today's show, we're speaking with Patty Peterson-Keys, an environmental education coordinator with Polk County Conservation. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Thank you.
And joining us, as always, is Jesse Lowry. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ryan. Thanks so much. Happy to be here and have Patty as our guest. I'm the Director of Conservation and Research here at the zoo, and as always, I like to set the stage for just a couple minutes and talk about the role of a modern zoo in saving animals in the wild. The mission of Blank Park Zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. Basically, we want to use the zoo as a tool to help wildlife populations and imperiled habitats around the world. We have about 500,000 people in our audience, and so we have a really great opportunity to inspire conservation actions, some kind of behavior change that people can make in their own life. I like to say the zoo is a window to the wild, a place where we can see animals that we might not be able to see in the wild, look into the eyes of a snow leopard, and then get that warm, fuzzy feeling, that sense of awe that we all get. And our job as a zoo is to turn that sense of awe into something that's actually going to make a difference to our environment. And, you know, Blank Park Zoo works on conservation in a multitude of ways. We try to be as green as possible in our daily business operations because there's a direct, correlation between being green and Iowa animals, especially local Iowa animals. We also do a lot with our local environment. We've got our pollinator conservation project, Plant Grow Fly, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit here with Patty. And we've also got our upcycle program, which we'll talk about today with Patty, because that's another one that we partner with Polk County Conservation. But basically, you know, the backbone of what a zoo can do to help save animals is the support of those individuals and organizations that are out on the front lines in the range countries of which our animals, live in the wild. And so we give about $75,000 per year to In the Wild Conservation. And we support chimpanzees in Uganda, giraffe in Namibia, rhinos in Indonesia, hornbills in Thailand, lemurs and tortoises in Madagascar, and a lot of projects right here in Iowa locally as well. And those are the folks that are out on the front lines, the folks that know exactly what needs to happen in those range countries to help save the animals. And so really the most important point is that a portion of all revenue at Blank Park Zoo goes to save animals in the wild. And so that means if you come here on a warm Saturday to ride the train and the carousel and see the Japanese macaques, you're helping to save animals in the wild. It also means that every staff member at the zoo is saving animals in the wild and that we all have a part in this. But I always like to say, if you want to get the most bang for your buck, that acting locally is really the way to go. Taking care of the local environment is something that's going to engage people, really make them notice the nature that's all around us, that we don't have to go far away to a national park or go to Yellowstone, that it's really in our backyard, it's everywhere. And Polk County Conservation and Patty, and specifically, you guys have been doing this for years, and we've been partnering with you for years. And you're just a really important partner to us in so many ways. So welcome again, Patty, to the show.
Yeah, thank you. And so you're saying, you know, you're talking about animals all over the world, and those are great animals, but think globally, act locally. Exactly what you just said.
Exactly. If you want to make an impact and if you care about giraffe, you should maybe plant some native plants in your backyard. I know that sounds kind of like a leap, but if everybody could just do what they could in their backyard, we could solve a lot of the environmental problems that we have today. So let's start out, Patty, and just talk a little bit about yourself, your background, and what brought you to Polk County Conservation.
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Eastern Iowa, and I grew up loving animals. I didn't know what else I wanted to do, but if you would have asked me, what do you want to do when you grow up? I wanted to do something with animals. So for a while, I thought that was actually going to be in a zoo. So I started off as a zoology major at Iowa State and decided that maybe wasn't the path for me. And, I think people can always look back to maybe that education, that educator that was instrumental in their life. And I was actually taking a biology class at Iowa State. And my professor at the time kind of clicked in me and I went, wow, that's really kind of cool. And sat down with her and found a different path of animal ecology, which just tweaking it a little bit, but it got me into more of the natural resources field, which I love.
I'm also thinking right now of a professor at the University of Colorado in Boulder that did that exact same thing for me. And I never really told him how much he meant to me. But then about 10 years later, I invited him here to the zoo to be one of our speakers. And that was just such a really neat full circle, you know, thing that happened. But I think that we can all look back and find that teacher, whether it's in elementary school or junior high or high school or in college. Maybe it's a neighbor that got you out into nature. But we've all got something that really sparked that interest. So, Patty, let's talk about your role at Polk County Conservation and a little bit about what you do every day.
Sure. Polk County Conservation, I'm the Environmental Education Coordinator. I've been there now for almost 25 years, so long time, as most of our staff have been, a lot of longevity there. And our department, our role is to teach and inspire people about the outdoors. So I kind of kiddingly say it's our job to teach people how to play outside, which sounds like a pretty good job to teach people how to play outside. But unfortunately anymore, that people are spending less and less time outside. So we have to show them that it's okay to be outside and even how to play in it, how to get dirty in it. I also tell kids when I'm out on a field trip with them that it's part of my job to get them a little bit dirty every day. And I think when we are free to get dirty and be unencumbered with all of those things of being neat and tidy and, you know, making sure you stay on a path, that's not what nature's about. It's about fully engaging all of your senses into the outdoors. And that's what the people I work with, that's what we do on a daily basis. If it's rainy outside, we're playing in the rain to some extent, you know, playing outside in the wintertime too, but really trying to get that whole engagement into the outdoors.
So it sounds like an awesome job, first of all. So are you both designing the education programs and implementing them?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, we're always looking to, because we work with a lot of school kids, but we also work with adults and preschoolers. And of course, now there's just a lot of changes as far as core curriculum. We hear all the time about STEM. And so wanting to make sure that we're not necessarily always something extra in the classroom, but we're really enhancing what they're doing in the classroom too, and making sure we're hitting that core curriculum and helping to make that maybe learning come to life a little bit more, even teaching kids how to ask questions. And I always tell kids, you know, as long as you're asking me a question, I know you're understanding and engaging in our topic.
What's one thing that you find surprising that kids don't know that you think everyone knows?
Just having the comfort of being outdoors. As far as knowing, it's even little simple things. You know, where's the sunrise? You know, it seems simple to me. I grew up out in the country in rural Iowa, and, you know, I knew where the sun came up. Those are some real basic foundation, you know, connecting yourself to the earth. And sometimes it surprises me that kids don't know those real general things.
Talk about a couple of your favorite programs when you see that eureka moment with the kids, and maybe something that the zoo could emulate and parents could emulate.
Just having that excitement moment. And I think for parents and adults, it's not saying ooh or yuck or gross or I don't like that. I always tell kids, I don't care if you don't like something, but we do need to be respectful of it no matter if we like it or not. And so I think there's a far difference between those two things of not liking something but still being respectful. So as far as parents and any adult who might be a mentor, you kind of mentioned that before, it doesn't have to be a parent. It can be a neighbor. It can be an aunt or an uncle who can be that good mentor to a child and make all the difference in the world of just showing them it's okay to pick up a frog. You know, you're not going to get warts from a toad. All of those misconceptions that are out there. And, you know, it's okay to stick your hands in the mud and, you know, to even be a little silly and put mud on your face. Those are all essential experiences that just really help engage you into the environment.
Can you think of any specific stories of a group of kids that you took out and it was just so rewarding because those things happened?
Oh, after doing this for so long, it's hard to remember a specific, something really specific. But even just last week, I had some kindergartners out on a hike. And I said, we had a fall celebration party. So after we, you know, picked up leaves and talked about leaves and the colors and things, you know, we just threw them up in the air and just celebrated. It was our confetti. So we just said happy fall, and we had just a little nature party of trying to realize you can make a celebration out of anything simple. You know, it can just be throwing leaves up in the air and how much joy there was at that very moment of just being outside on a beautiful fall day and just that pure celebration of just simple leaves.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about my three-year-old. I mean, every single day there is an excitement about something that to me could be quite mundane. But it's new and novel to her, and it's a great reminder that we can find beauty no matter where we're at. And I would love for my daughter to take one of your programs, actually, so I'm going to be signing up. Tell us some examples of the classes or camps that you offer.
Sure. We always say we educate from 3 to 93. So your daughter's right in that range. So we do so many different things. I kind of mentioned the school programs just because it's been in school field trip season here now for the past 6-8 weeks or so. And, you know, getting those kids out on field trips, we do classroom programming. But then we have our public programs too. So we're like, you know, we're doing things of taking, you know, just adults on hikes. We are doing programs in senior living facilities. We're going into preschools and talking to them. We do recreational programs, so teaching people how to shoot a bow and arrow or go canoeing or kayaking. We also do trips. So we do bus trips for senior citizens. We do some kayaking trips of taking people, immersing them more into nature. So our programs are extremely wide and varied, and just realizing how do you connect, of trying all those different ways that you might connect someone to nature. So maybe is it even through their palate? We've done some things on wild edibles and, you know, collecting mushrooms, or even on fermenting foods. How do you make a connection for people even into their healthier living as well?
So it sounds like the educators at the zoo, you often go to a location to teach folks, no matter what their age is. But when people come to you, talk about the different parks that you work in and that people can visit.
Sure. So Polk County Conservation, we manage 20 different parks and recreation trails, of course, all around Polk County. Some of them are probably extremely familiar to people, places like Jester Park, where our office is at. But then we've got a few lesser known areas, like Thomas Mitchell Park or Yellow Banks. And one of my favorites is Chautauqua Bottoms Green Belt. And that is 8,000 acres and 10 square miles in Polk County of wildness.
Can you talk a little bit about that park? Because it is amazing.
It is. And it's not, and we don't use the word park in the description, because most people would go out there, and it does have a few amenities. You can go camping. There's a few, you know, developed trails, but the main purpose for that area is restoration. We work with a lot of universities to do research of trying to figure out how to restore our natural habitat. And there's a wide variety as far as fens, sand prairies, oxbows, upland woodlands. There's just a huge wide variety of habitats. And so we don't manage a habitat for a specific species. We manage the habitat to be healthy. And in some cases, we have reintroduced like river otters out to Chautauqua. We've also released trumpeter swans out there. But in many cases, the animals have come back on their own. And they came back because the habitat was healthy. And I tell people, you know, we can do reintroductions every day, but unless the habitat is healthy, it's not going to work. And so we have nesting sandhill cranes out there. And if anyone's ever heard of sandhill cranes, I still get goosebumps just even thinking of the sound that they make. And the fact that we have them here in Pope County is a true testament of the quality of the habitat, of how healthy it is. We have other rare and endangered animals and plants that are out there, and it's right in people's backyard. So it's there for the animals, but people can go out and enjoy it all the time too. We don't restrict it and say, you can't come here. We want people to go out and explore and see some of those things for themselves.
I love when you talk about just, you know, restoring the habitat to make it a healthy ecosystem. And there's so many different building blocks that go into a healthy ecosystem, including clean water and native plants and pollinators, and many things that I know that we just don't understand how intricate the connections are. You know, with our Plant Grow Fly program, we manage habitat for pollinators. But that pollinator habitat will support so many different kinds of animals. And I often say that if any kind of animal was going to get the amount of attention that pollinators are getting right now, I'm just glad it's them, because pollinator habitat is great for so many different kinds of animals. And I was hoping you were going to mention the sandhill crane, because I'd heard that, and that is fantastic. One of my heroes is Jane Goodall, of course, and she said that the sandhill crane migration in the Midwest is as beautiful and awe-inspiring to her as any migration she's seen in Africa. And so I always like to kind of comment on that of Jane Goodall and how much she likes the sandhill cranes. So we all should go out and visit some of those areas, some of those natural areas that are right in our backyard. Let's talk about the different ways that we have partnered together over the years. Of course, Polk County Conservation was one of the founding partners of Plant Grow Fly. And so we're all working to help encourage the planting of butterfly gardens. And we just reached over 1,000 butterfly gardens this year. And we partner on Upcycle, which is a program where we go in and remove invasive plant species from some of our local parks. And some species that are just kind of taking over, like honeysuckle and mulberry. And it just so happens that honeysuckle and mulberry are a favorite treat item for some of the animals that live here at Blank Park Zoo. And so throughout the year, our rhinos and giraffe and goats and llamas will get some of these plant species that we're needing to get out of the parks. And when we clear those species, that gives more room for the native plants to grow and those building blocks like you were talking about with a healthy ecosystem. We also help harvest some seed. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. And so, and this kind of fits into pollinators as well. Our pollinators, we tell people to plant. I mean, great thing is to planting native. When in doubt, plant native. You can't really go wrong there. And so with the seed harvest, plant are gathering local seeds of prairie seeds. And prairie seeds, if you have to go out and purchase them, because it's very time-consuming, they're small, they're extremely expensive. And so many times during the year, we ask for volunteers to go out and help us with that seed harvest. And then we could put them back on the native landscape to either enhance a prairie that we currently have or that we're reestablishing a prairie someplace. And those resources of having volunteers helping us do those things is greatly appreciated. And we use volunteers for a lot of the things of cutting honeysuckle or whatever it is. But again, it's all about that healthy habitat.
What is one of the most surprising animals or things that you've seen in one of your parks?
Oh, surprising.
You think it's Polk County, you know, you don't. Sometimes when I'm out on the bike trail, I see a bobcat, you know, and it's like, I'm a mile away from Fluor Drive and I'm seeing a bobcat.
I think probably one of the most special times for me was actually hearing the sandhill cranes. And I don't necessarily need to go back to that, but I've been out to Nebraska in the spring for the migration many times. And, you know, that's just incredible to see, to especially hear. For me, it's the sound. And the first time I heard sandhill cranes at Chautauqua, I thought I was losing it. I thought, no, that can't be possible that I'm hearing that right here in Polk County. Because they can be, you know, a mile away and you can still hear that sound. And so I had to ask someone, is that really what I'm hearing? And they're like, yes, it is. So that for me was probably one of the neatest experiences, was the first time I heard them in Polk County, because that told me we were doing something right.
And Patty, I can just feel your excitement about the Sandhill Cranes. And that's exactly the kind of feeling that we want to, you know, help little children get, you know, when they get excited about nature. And so we also partner with you on the Family Nature Club. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've been doing that with the zoo for the last couple of years. And it's just a way to, again, to kind of make some different connections. People maybe are diehard coming to the zoo. They love the zoo. They're maybe zoo members, but have never been to maybe some of our parks. So it's another avenue for us. It's reaching a different audience. And again, getting those families outside. A couple years ago, I had a family, we were doing a night hike and we were making s'mores. And I had a family who said, well, tell me how to do this. And I kind of looked and went, huh? Well, we've never made a s'more before and cooked it over a fire. That was one of those moments that I went, okay, this is why we do these things, to have these experiences. Mm-hmm. And so the partnership with the zoo, we get, again, getting families out to different parks in different times of the year. In September this past year, we did monarch tagging out at Chautauqua, and we caught one monarch. But we had a great experience of running through the prairie with our insect nets, and we caught one monarch. We tagged it. And hopefully, you know, maybe by now it's in Mexico and maybe we'll get the exciting report on it at some point in time that it made it there.
But it's not always about those results. It's about the process. It's about running through the prairie with a net and giggling and looking for that one monarch. And maybe you're going to find it, maybe you're not, but you're going to go home and you're going to be dirty. And
I had some girls then who found a snake, a dead snake.
Yeah.
And so we took it back and, you know, we put it, and I had these girls playing with this dead snake for probably 5 minutes. They were petting a dead snake and I went, that's our connection for the day. It didn't have to be about a butterfly, but they connected on a whole nother level to the snake and they were pretty excited about it.
It was so unexpected.
Yes.
I love that story. You've got something else brewing. You've got a nature center that you guys have started on. So tell us about that project.
Yeah, so we're really excited to actually have a building for times of inclement weather. Otherwise, many times, you know, if it's rainy, stormy, whatever, we don't have a facility for our programming. And so for the first time, we're going to have some classrooms to be able to do some programming in and just allow us, again, to kind of, because we don't necessarily have an identity, because we have so many different parks. You know, the zoo, you have the zoo. But that doesn't mean that's where your education stops. But that's what people connect you to. We've kind of lacked that connection point because there's so much in so many different places that we go out to. So the Nature Center is really going to give us that connection point of, you know, okay, this is not where education starts and stops. This can just be a beginning point, and it's our way. We don't want to keep people indoors. That's not our goal of the facility, but to maybe give them a launching pad to the outdoors. So it'll be located at Jester Park. Steel is going up, and hopefully we'll have some framing and opening sometime next summer. So we're very excited about just having a facility working on displays for people to come out and experience, you know, nature, even if it is stormy and rainy, they can still come out for the day and learn some things.
And it's only going to expand the opportunities for education. Like you said, not just stormy weather, but just all different kinds of opportunities to expand what you're already doing. And so we're really excited about that for you, too.
Yes.
So what conservation action would you recommend that families take? The audience here at the zoo is families with young kids. We want to give people something easy to do. What would you recommend this weekend that families and parents can do?
Well, of course, it's just always getting outside and realizing that not everyone has the ability to get in their car and drive someplace. So I'm not going to advocate, hey, go out to one of our parks. It is whatever nature means to you. And if it's just being in your backyard, or if it's maybe even going into, an abandoned lot in your neighborhood, into a local park, great. Do that. Experience nature wherever you can find it. I think that every kid, we're kind of getting a little bit out of the season, but I say every kid should own an insect net and to go in their backyard, dig in the dirt, anything like that to try to experience nature. And nature can be anywhere.
So what about wintertime?
I play outside in the winter too. So I personally love to ski. If we need some snow, we need a snowy winter to be able, and we know it's going to be cold in Iowa, but if we have some snow, then nothing's more fun than to play in the snow with kids and experience it too. I say there's no bad weather, only bad clothing choices. So get better clothing and go outside and experience it no matter what.
We've just got a couple minutes left. Tell us what inspired you to become the conservationist that you are today, Patty.
That's tough. I just had that passion for animals, and then that led into my passion for being outside. And I think it's just about having a special place. And even as a kid, I did have a special place. I was allowed to go out and explore on my own and just hang out if it was, playing in the mud or whatever it was doing. But I had a special nature place that was mine. And I think that first established that groundwork of how special nature is, and just really kind of helped to lay that foundation. And now people who are around me, they know kind of what the rules of my house, that when you're at my house, we're going to be using cloth napkins, mm-hmm. and we're going to be recycling. And then they just realize that energy and then that helps them to make better decisions, hopefully in their own homes. And that's just people in general of trying to make better decisions every day.
I love that. And I just made a mental note to make sure that my 3-year-old daughter has her own nature space and her own place that's going to be special for her for years. So I'll be making sure to make that happen. Patty, where can people find out more about your programs?
Yeah, so best place would be on our website, which is leadingyououtdoors.org. Or they can, of course, Polk County Conservation. They can find out about our programs, about our parks, upcoming events, changes of seasons, closing. We're going to be closing our campgrounds fairly soon. And just to get up to date about all of our information and what's going on.
Thank you so much, Patty, for being here. Yeah. We are so honored to partner with you over the years. We're excited to see the Nature Center and partnering in the future. Thank you so much for all the work that you do to save animals.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Patty. Give us that web address one more time.
Yeah. It's leadingyououtdoors.org.
All right. Well, we're out of time today. So join us next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.